We have to use our common sense and get information from people that are in the trenches. People that are dealing with sellers and buyers on a daily basis. At the end of the day, there's gonna be a large percentage of buyers that look at that nice packet and all that value added and say, hey, that's great. How much are you gonna charge me? What's your charge? What's your price? For new agents, this is the greatest opportunity ever.
Yeah.
Because they don't know the difference. They're not gonna know the difference. They're gonna have it. The new agents are gonna have an advantage over me and you.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Suneet Agrawal with another episode of the Reside Platform Podcast. And we have a very special guest. Actually, the first guest to be on twice.
Oh, excellent. Thank you, brother.
My friend. Somebody who I've admired since the first time I met him, somebody who knows more about real estate and has all kinds of accolades that he can tell you about his qualifications to be able to talk so well about it.
Yeah.
Mr. Steve Hawks from Las Vegas, Nevada. Steve, what's up?
Thanks, man. Good to see you. Good to see you.
Yeah. So real quick, just give everybody the 2-minute story of what you do and who you are.
Yeah. I've been out here in Vegas for over 25 years. I've personally sold over 5,000 houses. And when it comes to this, we were on top of this a few years ago when we warned about big changes are coming. And once the DOJ gets involved, we have to watch it. And the reason why it's all happening right now is because of the courts were closed, which we talked about earlier. But with our experience, we see what's going. Vegas is a very competitive market, so we've seen what part of this lawsuit is about, and we've seen what they're talking about. And so we've been pretty much ahead of this curve. This was what happened over the weekend or over Friday. This was supposed to happen a few more months down the road, but I think a lot of people were shocked. And it's funny because a lot of the people that are saying this isn't going to impact our market are the same people that said the settlement's not going to happen for 4 to 5, 7 more years.
Yeah, right. Well, guys, if you're listening to this episode, today is March 17th. We're going to push to get this out tomorrow on March 18th. So we are talking about the ground shaking, groundbreaking, the whatever you want to call it, whatever adjective, the NAR settlement of the Stitzer Burnett case. So give some people some context about it just to catch them up on what was going on.
Yeah. So this is, a culmination of 5 years of, investigations, trials, negotiating, settlements. And now we have a proposed settlement that's going to have massive change. I mean, no matter how you look at it, a lot of people think, oh, we'll just call the listing agent and get the commission, or we'll go to a third party website. Well, not only is that not going to be very accurate, it's not the settlement has it to where we can't go to a third party. So the settlement's very detailed on this. The spirit of this is that they want the consumers to negotiate with the buyer's agent, much like commercial is. So whatever the buyer's agent's commission, whatever the buyer's broker agreement says, that's what they want the commission to be for the buyers. So the MLS can't have the commissions on the MLS. A lot of people ask, can we put it on showing time? Can we put it on attachments? Can we put it in agent-to-agent remarks? No, it specifically states all those things. No commission on the MLS or linked to the MLS or giving it to a third party and then the third party sending it back to us, which would be like a showing time thing. So all that stuff, they pretty much covered in there. There is one loophole, but I don't think the companies are going to do it because after being, slapped with these lawsuits, they don't want to chance it again. And, like we're talking about, the three strikes, right? This is not, a lot of people are getting the settlement and the DOJ confused. It's two separate things, right? I think this has a little bit of the DOJ wording in it. I don't know if they're involved in this particular verbiage, but there is some DOJ hints in here, right? And I think the DOJ likes this settlement about 75%. I think there's some tweaks on there that they know about the loopholes. And since the DOJ was burned on the last settlement, I think they're going to make this one much tighter than what this proposed one is. Because there is one loophole to get out of this for the commissions. It still makes it more difficult, but there is a loophole hiding the commissions. The spirit of it is they want the buyers to negotiate the commission with the buyer's agent upfront and then go to the seller. Now, the seller pays that, great, but they want it set before they start looking at houses. That's the ultimate goal.
Which I think, and we talked about this too, and I've talked to a couple people about this. Let's say that I get a lead from not Zillow. Let's say I get an email lead from realtor.com. And I call the person in 20 seconds, because that's what you're supposed to do. And I get them on the phone. And my script has always been, the script that we've been taught is, hey, I just got your inquiry on 123 Banana Street. When do you want to see it? I want to see it at 4 p.m. Great. What has you motivated to see this house? Are there any other houses that you want to see? Let me confirm with the seller, and I'll get back to you with our confirmed time. That's been the script.
Correct.
Right? So,
yeah, and we'll talk about this later. ZillowRealtor.com and these portals, they're awfully quiet right now because they don't know. There's no workaround for them right now, right? And I'm not going to pay the money I'm paying to these portals if it's a very unlikely chance that I'm going to meet somebody and they're going to sign a buyer's broker agreement the first time. That's like going to an open house and, hey, come on in. Oh, by the way, if you want to see the house, sign this buyer's broker agreement. Now, what? And I'm already looking at these loopholes for the buyer's broker agreement because I've never used them. I've never had to, right?
Yeah, it's California. No one uses them.
Yeah. But what they want to do ultimately is they want the buyer to be like a listing agreement, right? This is what I'm going to do for you. This is how much I get. This is how much I charge. This is how much you're going to pay me, or the seller's going to pay me. And people are saying, well, you know, that's not going to work. Well, the lenders have been doing it for 50 years, right? How do the lenders get paid? Lenders say, here, buyers, here is my cost. Now you can pay it, or you can try and get the seller to pay it. Nothing much is that's exactly how they want it to do with realtors. This is what I charge for a buyer. This is what I charge you, Mr. Buyer. This is why I am worth it. Now, here's the tricky part. No buyer is the same, right? They're similar, but no same. I mean, there's a sum, but there's probably 10 different categories of buyers: VA, luxury, buyers with FHA, no money down, buyers with VA with money down and no money down, right? So you can go all these different buyers. So you can't be a dummy anymore and open the door and collect a check. If you got to do those BBAs, you have to know what kind of buyer you're talking to and how much you can charge that buyer, because we already get it in. And we're going to have more educated buyers too. It's not going to be one size fits all. You're going to have some buyers that go, oh yeah, I'll pay the 3%. But hey, we already know, man, look at social media. The every news, whether it's Fox, CNBC, CNN, every single news station, even local news stations, all the local newspapers say, buyers, no more 6% commission. So it's no more like, oh, my buyer's not going to go, my seller's not going to know. They're knowing. The only question is, are you going to bring it up to them? So some of these coaches are saying, hey, don't talk to the consumers about it. Well, they might think that you're trying to hide something from them, because chances are they already know. So you better talk to them about it.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, let's say that I meet a buyer, and on my buyer broker, it's some percentage, right? We'll call it B percentage.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm going to charge, B. And the buyer says, yeah, great. Don't sellers typically pay that? And you say, sometimes, you know, it's hard to say. So let's go ahead and see the house and see if you like it. So the buyer signs your B, right? And then you go show them the house. Buyer wants to write an offer. Seller isn't offering anything.
Right.
Now the buyer's all, well, you know, you tell the buyer, hey, Mr. Buyer, they aren't actually offering anything. We agreed to get B paid. He's like, well, I don't have the money. I thought that sellers typically covered, but I really want this house. Right? So then the buyer's agent might have to either say, well, I can't, I'm not going to do this for free, right?
Correct.
Correct. And, but then the buyer says, well, I still want this house. So they rip up the buyer broker. They call another agent, start calling agents to see who will do it for the least. That agent gets that person into escrow, like a procuring cost too. Like, what the hell, right? Like, yeah. That's what I see.
Not really. The procuring cause. Yeah, you may have a procuring cause, but guess what? There's no commission involved. So even if you win, there's no commission involved.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And there's no MLS rules, right? This is true competition here. Now, people, this is what I've been, me and Noah Herrera warned people about 18 months ago. We told realtors to get their mortgage license, right? FHA just changed it about a year ago where FHA, you can be the buyer's agent and do an FHA loan. So the dual license agents are going to have a huge advantage on instances like that. Number one. Number two, you know what we're seeing a lot now? It's a lot harder for a realtor to get their mortgage license. Mortgage brokers, loan officers, especially in Vegas, a ton of them are now getting their real estate license because you can get it in 30 days, right? And they're seeing this. They're seeing an opportunity for this, but also because of new homes. A lot of them got it because they're losing so many new homes. But now with this coming down, they're like, oh, wait a minute. All these buyers that don't have any money or supposedly don't have any money, I can help him. And now remember, if there's multiple offers on a house, the seller's probably not going to pay much buyer's agent commission, right?
Yeah.
But if there's no offers, it's no different than a lender, okay? Everyone, so here's a big myth right now we can clear up, that this is going to hurt. First of all, let's rewind a little bit. I knew that this was going to happen once I heard NAR's response that said, hey, this new method is going to hurt first-time homebuyers.
Yes.
Okay, that's it? That's all you said? Okay, well, let's look. First-time homebuyers are only 25 to 30% of the market. So what you just said is it's going to hurt 30%, but it's going to help 70%. That was one of the dumbest responses you could have to make if you're trying to push back on this, right? But here's the reality. This, the way this is done, I mean, to be honest, let's look at how it's really going to pan out. These first-time homebuyers that don't have any money, you think nobody's going to work with them?
Somebody will.
You're damn right. And guess what those companies do? They do mortgages. This is going to spur new models. And first time, this could help first-time homebuyers. This actually could help VA buyers with no money down. Why? Hey, FHA buyer. VA buyer, the seller now is not paying a buyer's commission. They're more likely to pay 3 to 4% to buy down your interest rate and pay all your closing costs, because this is kind of like a time period where it's free money to them, because in the past they're expected to pay that. Now that they don't have to pay that, hey, you know what? You could probably get. So this may increase home ownership for first time home buyers and VA, because now they can actually get that money to use to buy down the rate and closing costs. And let's be real. How many of these FHA buyers and VA buyers are getting homes right now if they don't have money if they're asking money for closing costs? Very few.
Yeah.
So it's that's not going to change. But now, if the seller's not offering, if the seller has multiple offers and they don't have to pay a buyer's agent, they're more likely to pay lender's closing costs and buyer's costs. So this could actually help first-time home buyers and VA buyers. And you know for a fact that there's going to be new businesses that come out that say, hey, you know what? Look how much money VA loans and FHA loans are some of the most profitable loans you can do. So now you can ask for more closing costs for that loan, and you can just offer truly, you can take the buyer out there and not charge them any buyer's commission because they don't have it. And these are the kind of things that are going to happen. And I assure you, Rocket Mortgage and all these local mortgage companies are starting to hire realtors and just pay them 30, 50 grand a year to take out all their FHA and VA buyers.
Yeah. I mean, I have 3 or 4 dual licensed loan officer agents. Yeah. So, and that wasn't on purpose, but I'm pretty happy that I do right now.
Yeah.
What about So what do you see the process being like? You want to go show some houses, you get a buyer broker signed. Are you calling the listing agents and saying, hey, what's the commission? What's the commission?
Well, a lot of people are saying that. Well, you could call the listing agent all you want, but ultimately the seller is going to pay the commission, right? So you could call the listing agent and say, hey, what's the commission on this house? It's 2%, 3%, whatever it is. Okay. You show the house. A day later, you send over an offer. The commission isn't what they told you. Well, why not? Oh, well, first of all, that was based on list price. Number one, you didn't offer list price. So the seller's not going to offer that unless you did list price. Number two, we have multiple offers now. So we're not offering any closing cost. It's no difference than they do with the lender. And this is how the commercial, real estate, as you know, works also. So
yeah.
this is how agents can prepare for this. And this isn't rocket science, folks. This is true competitive market, and we're going to see new business models pop up. We're going to see companies that offer $2,500, $5,000, $10,000 flat fee for the buyer's agent fee. And if it's less, you pay the difference. And if the seller pays more, then you get the difference.
Yep.
And don't forget, they're going to be making money on the loans also. And then also there's ancillary products, you know, I mean, like in Nevada, hey, you don't have any, I only have $2,000 for you to buyer's agent. Okay, no problem. When you get that house, use me or my preferred lender. And then also when you close on that house, let us give you a solar proposal.
Yeah.
Yep. Right? There's ancillary products now to make you more competitive, because guess what? Your competition is planning this right now. Go to Rocket Mortgage's website. They got Rocket Mortgage. They got Rocket Homes. They got Rocket Solar. These big companies, they see this coming, and they're preparing for it. So agents need to prepare for this too. And yeah, I don't think – no. Plus, they're set up very, very good for this, what's coming July 1.
Yeah. So talking about models, you have an independent brokerage, right? I have an independent brokerage and a sales team. Flat fee, like my independent brokerage is flat fee to the agents. What kind of model do you think is the best for agents to gravitate towards right now?
Well, they have no choice, right? You can't, if this pans out to where you have to negotiate a BBA every time, and this is going to impact everything, right? From the portals to the teams, everything. If I have to pay a split to a company or a franchise fee or something, that is going to be passed on in my BBA. Well, if there's somebody that is 100% place, flat fee place, guess what? They don't have all that expenses. So you're going to have to charge that buyer more to make the same amount that other buyer's agent is going to charge less for, because they don't have all those fees.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just
really, really interesting. Yeah. I mean, that's how I was seeing too.
Don't forget, look at everything that's going around. You know, 3 years ago or 2 years ago, if somebody would have said that FHA is going to allow people to do the loan and the transaction, they would have said you were crazy. But FHA did that. So it seems like an effort by all agencies and all parties to try and bring down the cost and trying to make it more competitive, not just on the real estate side, but for the consumer in general.
What do you think of this talk? And I've been hearing it for months about potential FHA, VA changing lending guidelines to lend maybe 105%, 103% of a home.
I think they'll do that after they see how this pans out. I don't think there's a need to do that.
What should agents be doing, thinking about, man? Like what people out there, number one, let me give advice to all the agents watching and listening. Do not get your news from fucking social media. Okay. do not get your news from the media, period. I've signed up, and today's Sunday. And it's a little tricky that they did it on Friday, that everybody go crazy all weekend long, which is typical, right? I'm attending a California Association of Realtors town hall tomorrow. And everybody watching, find your local association and do the online town hall and just get educated, number one, right? But what else? What are you telling agents that work with you, Steve?
Well, even then, you got to be careful where you get your information from, because everybody has different goals, right? And Inman had a good article that they put in there that said, you know, this was for legal advice. They said, hey, if you're going to get legal advice for your business, don't just rely on legal advice from your association, NAR, or even your broker, because they sometimes, well, many times they have different agendas than you do. So, and yeah, a lot of these MLSs and NARs having these town halls. Well, hey, the information they've been giving us the past 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years hasn't been so great. So we have to use our common sense and get information from people that are in the trenches. People that are dealing with sellers and buyers on a daily basis. Yeah, if they don't have that information, they're not going to know how to react to this. I mean, I've dealt with over 5,000 sellers, right? Personally, so I know that how people react. And if when people tell you, oh, do a BBA, this is how it's going to work. Well, no, that's not how it's going to work. You're going to have 10 or 20 different BBAs. Just like when you're talking to a seller, you don't do the same canned presentation every single time. And if you do, you're not very successful, right? Because you got to find out what that seller wants. Now it's same thing with the buyer. You're going to have to figure out what their needs are, how much money they have. And you got to watch what your competition's doing. Not even your competition. We're going to see new companies come into the field that we've never seen before, or new ventures like we're talking about Rocket. That's what we got to watch for. So what agents have to do right now is, if you can, get your mortgage license, right? That gives you a huge handout. You don't have to do the mortgages. You can partner with someone. You could be the co-loan officer, whatever it takes. Loans are becoming much, much easier now with AI. They're a lot easier than they were 2 years ago. They're not all easy, but they're getting easier.
Yeah.
You want to create, you know what I mean? So you want to create some kind of partnership with the mortgage company, because the mortgage companies, they're not going to sit by either. Watch what these mortgage companies doing. Hey, you're talking about social media. I'm on. You can go on these loan officer social media things. They're in a panic mode too right now. And they're like, oh, you know what? A lot of them are talking. I'm getting my real estate license, because they see that, wait a minute, my realtor is going to start asking me to lower my fees, because it's going to be, they're going to say, hey, the seller's offering $15,000 in closing costs. Do what you want with it. Well, I'm the lender. I need $6,000, $7,000 over here. Oh man, I'm only going to make, you know, $5,000, $6,000. So now the agent, the realtor, and the loan officer are going to have to work together many times on saying, hey, what can you do on your fees? And the realtor, what can you do on your fees? So if you're a realtor, make sure you partner with a lender that's going to be cooperative with you, and then start getting, you know, go back and recall all the buyers you've worked with for the past 2 to 3 years, if you remember. Just remember, okay, if that person came to me after July 1st, what would I have said, or what would I have done to get them to work with me? Okay. Good. That's what you have to put your mindset in right now. And the buyers you're working with right now, what would I do if this buyer came to me on July 5th, July 10th, or July 30th, if this proposal is put in place?
How does your conversation at listing appointments change?
At listing appointments, not much. The only difference.
I will still advise the seller to offer some kind of compensation. Right?
Yeah. So if the seller's going to want to, the seller's going to ask, how much do I offer? Well, in the beginning, it's going to be pretty much, you know, easy. But after 3 to 4 months, you're going to have companies that start listing and just listing. You're going to have mortgage companies taking listings, right? They're going to be real estate companies then, but they're going to take listings too. And they're not going to be offering the buyer's agents any commission. They're going to be bringing people in. So you have to find out. We have to pay attention to what's going on around us, right? And there's going to be a huge civil war. You know, we can talk about this later too, about these companies that were left out of the lawsuit, right? They're going to be gunning too. So they might be doing some crazy stuff to gain market share from these other companies, right? So right now, listing agreement, pretty much nothing really changes. As I see this turn out, or if a seller says, well, hey, I saw this, I don't want to offer this. Well, ultimately, now the seller is going to dictate what they want to pay, right? Yes. Eventually, not all sellers. It's just like I was talking about before. Some sellers are going to be adamant. Are you going to toss a listing because the seller wants to try and do no.
Exactly.
And I guarantee you're going to get a lot of co-op. You're going to get a lot of co-op sellers not reading all these articles. Listen, you can tell the seller all you want to, you're blue in the face, but this media blast has overwhelmed realtors. Like I said, once it hits the local news stations, every single one of them in the local newspapers, they've seen this four or five times now, at least.
Yesterday. Yeah, my mom was over yesterday for my mom and my aunt and my in-laws, everybody, for my elder daughter's birthday party. We had a ton of fun, by the way. Very expensive. Right? I mean, my last expensive birthday party I'm having for a kid anytime soon. They're all, yeah, it's all over the news. Every time I turn on anything, that's what I see. Yeah. So, I mean, will you go to a listing appointment and the seller says, I don't want to offer any buyer compensation? What you, Mr. Listing Agent, what are you going to say?
You're going to have to say yes, or you're going to lose a lot of listings in the future.
Yeah.
Right?
So it's going to come really down to, I mean, you know, so many buyer side agents, their whole value prop was being able to open doors.
You got that right.
That was the whole value prop. In my team, we have a big value prop, 10 pages that I ask the agents on my team to take. I know many of them probably don't. I know many of them have never even opened it and looked at themselves. Maybe they will now, but I provide a lot of value to the buyers, right? Like Love It or Leave It, all these other programs, like vendor programs, all this. So if you don't have something like that, like, you had better get ready and figure it out, because when I meet with a buyer now, I am going to demonstrate my value and not just leave it to be like second thought.
Right.
Well, I met the guy and we laughed a couple of times. I showed him two houses. I definitely got that business. That's how it used to be. Not anymore, man. You got to show what you're doing for your money.
Right. Not you're right on the money on that. And what buyers are going to have to do is, at the end of the day, there's going to be a large percentage of buyers that look at that nice packet and all that value added and say, hey, that's great. How much are you going to charge me? What's your charge? What's your price?
Yep.
Just like the listings, right? When you go on a listing, you can have the greatest presentation in the world, but still, and now it's a lot more than it used to be. I would say probably, you know, half now. How much are you going to charge? What's the price? What's the cost? So at the end of the day, you're going to have cost. And in the very near future, you're going to have business models that come out and say buyer representation, $2,500 flat fee, $5,000 flat fee, $10,000 flat fee, right? Because they're doing ancillary. So that's going to become, I believe, out there too. Are they going to get a lot of the market share? Are they going to get half? No, but they're going to get a little piece here. Then this is going to get a little piece here. So you're going to have part of your value proposition is you're going to have a huge menu of services and cost, right? Like the listings, like a menu of services used to be very good for listings, you know, pre-internet, right? The sign, all that. That's how it's going to be with buyers. And remember, we talked about this. I did a video on it about a year ago and two years ago. And we were talking about what is the goal of the DOJ and these things. They want commissions to come down. How much and why? 30 to 40%, right? How do we know this? Well, we know that the buyer's agent is willing to do the job right now for 30 to 40% less than what they're being paid on the MLS currently, right? Mm-hmm. How do we know that? Because there's a line a mile long to get on these portals that will give them buyers and they'll pay 30 to 40%. I like realtor.com, OpCity, I paid. You know, I think I'm 38% on OpCity right now. Well, what is that telling you? That is telling you that 38% is going to a middleman that is not really bringing value to the seller, the buyer, or the agent. They're just a middleman that's giving out information. Now, what value does that 38% provide the consumer? Nothing. Now that 38% is going to be very, very valuable when you're writing that PBA. And these other portals are going to have to come up with their new value. How are they going to bring value to the consumer? Because before, the consumers thought that going to these portals was free. Now they're going to learn, whoa, wait a minute. Why is your BBA so much higher than my neighbor's BBA?
Yeah.
Well, I got to pay these guys. Oh, wait a minute. And also with teams, right? We're going to, like, when I give out buyer leads, my team, they're going to, I take a cut, right? Depending what the situation is. Well, I'm going to have to adjust that now on a case per case basis, probably depending on the buyer and the situation I'm giving them. Because I can't just give them a blanket commission split anymore when I'm giving them, 100 or 200 different buyers with all different scenarios. I want them to close that deal. I can't handcuff them.
You want them to get paid so they stay.
That's right. I want them to get paid so they can stay being realtors. That's the main concern right now, right?
That's the main concern, right? How many realtors are going to be out of the business in 12 months, Steve? What's your forecast?
12 months, probably 25. 2 years, 50 to 65%.
We'll be gone. We'll have half the amount of agents.
Yeah, and that's not really saying much because, as you know, 65% of the agents haven't done a deal in the last. So it could be 65%. All those agents haven't done a deal. And someone was just doing a video the other day that I think the agents that did do a deal, 85% do six deals. Of the ones that did do deals, the 85% were like 1 to 6 or something like that. So majority of agents. Yeah. And how does this end up? If this ends up the way it appears to be, is we're going to make less per deal, but at the end of the year, we're all going to make more money. Wow, where do you get that? Well, very simple. In 2009, 2010, well, 2006, my friends that did loans out here in 2005, on a $400,000 loan, many times they would make $40,000, $35,000 to $40,000, giving them all these crazy, interest only. Now, if that agent would have given, or if that loan officer would have given them a regular loan, they would have made about $8,000. Okay.
Yep.
Guess how many loan officers were out here back in 2005, brother?
Dude, I was a loan officer in 2005.
Okay. You were making more than $40,000 a loan in California because those houses were $800,000, brother.
Dude, I mean, I was doing them. I had a bunch of option arms in Vegas, right? We were doing that kind of stuff. But, we'd get 6 points or 5.1 points on some of those deals, man. Like, it was crazy.
That's right. Their compensation got cut like 95%, right? They were happy to make 1 or 2 points. They're happy to make $3,000 to $4,000 a deal. It went from 30,000 loan officers in Las Vegas to 3,000. Wow. Guess what happened? The quality of loan officer went through the roof. We didn't have all the nonsense that we had before. When I called a loan officer and they said, it's going to get it done, 90% of the time, I was talking to a loan officer that I knew they knew what they were doing. It was probably going to close, right?
Yeah.
And here's the key point. Most of my friends made more money at the end of the year during 2010 to 2021 than they ever did in 2005 because they were getting much more volume because they weren't losing deals to mom, dad, brother and sister, neighbor, or whoever that also is doing mortgages. That's going to be the same thing that is going to happen with real estate. And I like to call it back to 1999, but with technology. What do I mean by then? Back in 1999, we used to call up. Remember, there was no fax. There was no fax wasn't widely used. Email wasn't around. There wasn't even pictures on the MLS. We would call the other agent, put that deal together, and then go to the house, have them do the wet signatures and work out that deal. Cause you couldn't, if you went back and forth like we do today, it would take 2 weeks to get all the signatures because you had to work around everyone's schedule. Mm-hmm. So back then, and guess what? Most of the time we were working with agents that we'd already done business with. So we built relationships with other realtors. And back in 1999, there was about 4,000 full-time realtors and about 4,300 total. So 95% of the realtors were full-time. We have 17,000 realtors out here in Las Vegas right now. Guess how many are full-time?
Yeah.
About 2,500. Yeah, about 2,500. There was more full-time agents back in 1999 than there is today. So that's going to allow realtors to work relationships with other realtors. And guess what? You're going to do more deals spending less time going back and forth and educating that other realtor, because that other realtor on the other side is going to be educated. They're going to be doing their job. Gone will be the days of the other agent isn't knowledgeable, isn't experienced, just like the NAR danger report said. The MLS allowed that to happen, right? So once you take that commission off the MLS, now you're going to bring in a higher quality of agent. And here's what's very unique about this situation too. For the last 20 years, NAR, like I told you the last one, NAR is the best marketing company in the world, because they had the consumers and the public think that all realtors were the same, right? All realtors were the same, were a commodity, call any realtor, use a realtor to buy and sell your house. That's all they said. So the consumer thought everybody was the same. And there was no way to really tell the differentiation in realtors, because there wasn't a place to go to. Well, this settlement, if it goes through, shatters that. Now, the consumers are going to know there is a difference in realtors. There is a difference in who you hire for your BBA. Not only cost, but also knowledge. And now you're going to be, as a buyer, you're going to be able to start questioning those buyers on what they know, how many transactions they've done. Does this hurt new agents? Not necessarily. If you're a new agent and this buyer's pretty sophisticated, that sophisticated buyer will say, hey, look, my other realtor is going to charge me 20 grand. I'll give you 5 grand. Help me out. I know everyone I'm doing. Okay, I'll do it. Yep. And if I'm an agent right now, and I want to get a little head start here, hey, I want to break into the luxury market. $10,000 flat fee for $1 million or more. Yeah. Anything below that, you pay me. Anything above that, I pay you. That's how you're going to start. I mean, look, we just, I was talking about this before with you, that we sold a couple houses. My partner sold a $3 million house on the other side. The buyer's agent was so unknowledgeable that the buyer started calling him for all the information and communicating with him. And the buyer's agent said, yeah, go ahead, just handle it with him. I'm not sure about all this. That buyer's agent got a $90,000 commission check, brother.
Number one, a $3 million house in Vegas must have been baller, huh?
Well, the $3 million house in Vegas are coming up more and more now, because you Californians are coming out here and jacking up these prices.
We don't have any $3 million houses in Sac.
$3 million used to be like a big deal in Vegas. But now we got $7, $15, $20 million houses, and more coming. It's that Newsome Express.
You know, and I think like the agents who do a lot of new construction, I don't see new construction taking away compensation.
No, but a lot of builders now, when you do a contract, they have a form. How much are you rebating? Are you rebating any money to the buyer?
Yes. Yeah, they do. So what's that have to do with this?
Well,
they don't want you to do that, or they do want you to do that, or?
They don't care. They just want to know ahead of time so they can let their in-house lender know. And it's so common. It's so common now, right? So, hey, That's a good point, Sunit. People want to know, how is this going to change the residential real estate? Well, that's a good point. We might just look over the new home section and wait a minute. What's going on over there? Well, hey, Steve, I found this new home. You want to come in and represent me? I want half the commission. No. Okay, I'll go find someone else. I already found the house. So what happens when these consumers find a house on Zillow or Realtor.com? They're going to say, hey, I found it. They're going to treat it like a new home, right? Yeah. Hey, I found a house. How much commission are you going to give me back? Or how much are you going to charge me, right? So that's a good indication on the new homes. And also with these BBAs, when they're going to look at new homes, we're going to see more new home buyers ask about this now, because they're going to be presented that BBA for the new home, right? Before, a lot of people went to new homes. The commission never came up. I took you in a new home, signed, paid. Now you got to start explaining to that new home buyer what this BBA is. Oh, I didn't know commission was negotiable on the new homes. Yeah. Oh, let's see what we can do here.
Yeah. I mean, it's there's just a lot of unknowns on what's going to happen. And I think everybody listening, like, stay curious. It's not catastrophic. And I know it's easy to feel that way. Right? Like, it's easy to feel that way. With every challenge comes opportunity. Like, something I journal to my, an affirmation I say every day, I write in my journal right here. Every challenge is a gift. See it as a gift. Right? See it as an opportunity for market share. Right? What are you going to do? What are your options?
Right. Every knowledgeable agent I've spoken with, and every knowledgeable experienced agent I've spoken with, every single one of them, probably spoken to 100 in the past 3 days. Yeah. That the ones that are experienced and knowledgeable, they all end the conversation. You know what? I think this is going to help people like us. I think this is going to help our profession in the long run. It might be a little rough the first few months, but you know what? This might just help. This might just put this profession back to where it was, you know, pre-2010 on a higher level.
With professionals full-time who know what they're doing, who can provide value, who actually give great service to their clients. And any new listeners, any new agents who are watching or listening in, like, this is not something for you to be scared of. If you do the work and you become good and you practice, you can succeed. Right? Like, you can succeed. Let's talk about the companies who did not settle. Who is not
real quick on that. For new agents, this is the greatest opportunity ever.
Yeah.
Because they don't know the difference. They're not going to know the difference. They're going to have it. The new agents are going to have an advantage over me and you, especially me and you. I've done 25 years, you a long time. I've never used a BBA. Neither of you. Well, now you got to teach an old dog new tricks. Well, these new agents, oh, okay, this is what I do. This is how they're trained from the very beginning. So new agents are going to have a head start and advantage over people like me and you.
So in that part. Yeah, in that part. So don't see it as a catastrophic thing. I know it's easy to feel that way, people, but you cannot see anything like that. I know that's the easy way, but I'm just saying, do not. What about the companies that didn't settle in the settlement?
Yeah, this part we got to do a little more research on. I'm not as knowledgeable about it, so do your double checking on this part. But from what I've seen so far, it kind of looks like NAR and the old dogs kind of hit the new gobs, huh? They're, you know, if I was EXP or Real, I wouldn't be happy right now because they from what I've read, verify this, it looks like they took, they're not part of the settlement. A lot of big companies, there's a list, I could send you the link. There's a list of companies that are not part of the settlement. I think if you did over $2 billion in sales, you are not included in this. So these big franchises, they have a huge advantage. Let's say I'm Gary Keller and one of my competitors isn't covered in this lawsuit. So they're still going through, first of all, they're not making money. Second of all, now they got to pay attorney fees and they're going to pay a settlement. But guess what? If they sell to me or anywhere, then they're included in the settlement. So we might see some of these companies be bought just so this they get included in the settlement. Or these companies might sue NAR for not including them. But that's tricky too. That's more attorney fees, right? But yeah, a lot of these companies are not included in this settlement, which means the case still goes forward against them. And also the MLSs have to pay into a fund. And I think there's some of these companies can also pay into a fund and pay into the NAR fund to be included in the settlement. Also with the MLSs, I think the MLSs have to pay into a fund. But for those $2 billion and up, I don't think they have that option. And people are saying this is a $400 million settlement, but it's more like so far about $1 billion, right? Because you have all these other companies coming in. This doesn't include all those other settlements, and it doesn't include the other MLSs they're going to have to settle and pitch money in, and it doesn't include some of those other companies we were talking about. And this is a 4-year deal, so this is the important part. This is 4 years, and this. If commissions don't come down, we're going to have more lawsuits and more DOJ investigations. So that we're not going to get out of that. So if people think everything's going to be status quo, if this stays status quo, then they're going to come back again on us. Okay. Cause they're going to say loopholes. I think the buyer side commissions are going to drop 30 to 35% on the buyer side commissions, with this going forward.
So nationally, the money made from commissions, do you see it going down or going up?
The money made from commissions.
The total commissions paid every year.
Total commissions paid, yes, going down.
Yeah. I mean, it's only makes sense. But you will get more deals if you know what you're doing and if you have the value. Let me ask you, you think NAR even has $418 million?
No, they can pay it over 4 years.
You saw in that statement that they said they're not increasing fees this year.
Yeah, this year.
Exactly.
Yeah. This year.
I mean, I can foresee the fees definitely going up.
Yeah, I think it comes out to, and double check on the 4 year thing. That's more legal stuff, but that's what it said. But
no, yeah, that's what it said.
This could change too. But here's the thing about the 4 years. So if they don't adhere to the settlement, and it was very clear in the settlement that the MLS, the commissions can't be in the MLS. You can't try and get around it by putting on attachment stuff. If they break any of these things, the attorneys are going to come back for more money and more guidelines. So that's a tricky part. Now, my opinion, they should just paid them the $400 or $500 million at once and been done with it, right? Because now you got a 4 year thing. So if this doesn't change, they're going to come back and make some more changes.
Yeah, I mean, NAR will be increasing views. It only makes sense, right?
Well, we might see, we could see Redfin and Agency and EXP and Real and all these other ones that are going head to head right now with NAR. We could see a civil war in the real estate industry, and we could see a lot of these people go, hey, you know what, guys? Here's a new MLS. Here's how we're going to do it. Come on board. Worst case scenario, we got to put the property in the two MLSs. I'm good with that. Big deal, an extra 20 minutes to get more leads. I'll do that all day long. Yeah. We could see that. I mean, and we're just talking about this commission. Don't forget, as this unravels, and now that the commissions are more negotiable and flexible, we're going to see AI. We're going to see blockchain. Now we're going to see these companies go, oh, how can we take advantage of this? How can we take advantage of that? So that's how one thing we're going to be able to see in the future, too. And a lot of what we can gauge it on too is how much commissions vary. In October, you know, we've always been told there's no standard commission, there's no traditional commission, and you know that obviously was shot down by NAR themselves because NAR stated in Bloomberg that 2.5% was the traditional buyer side commission. So that's the benchmark that we now have to see how much commissions adjust. From the 2.5 based on what NAR told Bloomberg.
It's getting crazy out there. So let me ask you, wrapping this up, what are you going to do tomorrow?
Same thing I've done the past 25 years.
Yes. Which means waking up, going to the gym, right? We both like to work out. I got leg day in the morning. Over to that, waking up, going to the gym, and getting to damn work, right?
That's right. That's right.
There's so many unknowns.
Go ahead.
No.
Go ahead.
Okay. So yeah, there's so many unknowns. Like we are not even in day one yet, right? It's been the weekend. Like who knows what the news cycle is going to bring up this week? Who knows what? I mean, bro. Zillow just say, hey, just put your houses on Zillow to sell and we'll put the commission on here. You don't even need an MLS.
Well, Zillow could do that and they don't need to put that commission on there.
Yeah.
They could do straight up, you know, commercial real estate, you know, buyer's agent could work out with the seller. Most sellers are willing to pay 1-3% to sell their house, right? Even the most stringent FSBOs, you could call 1,000 FSBOs, right? 995 of them are going to be paying a commission, right?
Yep.
There's a few, you know, weirdos that don't pay nothing, but most of them are willing to pay somebody to do the work to sell their house. Most, you know, 95% of the sellers are reasonable individuals that don't mind paying for a service. The only thing they have a qualm about is the money and the situation.
Yeah. So there will be sellers out there paying, there will be buyers paying, there will be new stuff coming down the pipeline. But if I can guarantee this, if you wake up and get to friggin' work, you'll be all right. Make every day a win. Steve, any final thoughts for everybody?
No, it's like you said, get up every day. This should motivate you to take on the new challenges and get ahead of the game. This is it. This is it. This is the time. This is like the great reset in real estate, right? This is a time where if you've been in the business 20 years or 2 years, you can take advantage of what's going on right now, because a lot of people are in turmoil, they're in denial. But you get up, you talk to customers, you talk to buyers, you talk to sellers, you get the word out there, you answer their questions, and they're going to come to you, because this is a perfect opportunity for you to call your database that has those 2.5% interest rates that aren't going to do nothing. But now you can have a conversation with them to get referrals from them. And it's a perfect opportunity to talk to them about something that I assure you every homeowner is interested in what's going on in the real estate industry.
Yes, good. So, Steve, if anybody wants to send you a referral for Las Vegas, which they should, how do they do that?
The best way, just call me, Steve Hawks, my cell, 702-375-4295.
Yeah, make sure to just send me those hot Vegas referrals.
Just tell me you're friends with Sunit, and you get that extra King of Cali referral bonus.
Well, everybody, Steve, man, thank you so much. You taught me so much ever since I've known you.
Mutual.
Our friendship. So thank you for being my personal real estate oracle, which I love. Everyone listening, I really hope you got something out of this episode. I did for sure. If you want more, check out the last episode that we did with Steve, because there's a lot of other great knowledge that he shares in that. If you did like this, and you did check out Steve's other episode, or even if you didn't check out Steve's other episode, make sure to like and subscribe and share with your friends. And we'll see you on the next episode of the Reside Platform Podcast. See you later.